Our special scripture this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read two verses, verse 25 and 26, to help us set the tone. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25, Isaiah writes, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You as always for this day that You've made, that we can rejoice and be glad in Your loving mercy, Your provision of so many blessings, Your protection from so many foes. Lord, may we each appreciate at this moment that You, our God, the One who set the heavenly stars into place, every single one, the One who came and gave us a reason to celebrate Christmas, the One who went to the cross and took the punishment for our sins, the One who rose from the grave and conquered it all once and forevermore, wants to be with us, makes Himself available to us every day, and especially on this Your day that we've gathered together in Your name to be with You, to praise You, to hear from You. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that each and every one of us would hear from You, not from the preacher, not from anything, but Your very Word. May we hear today, and may we recognize it as such and apply it to our lives that we may be blessed. It is with anticipation and expectation of all that we've come together today. For as always, we gather in Christ's name. We sing praises to the name of Jesus. And it is in the name of our most precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I'm going to be speaking from Isaiah chapter 6, but before we start, and while we're turning there, I just want to take a minute. I think it's right and proper that we take a minute at this juncture and just think about how good God has been to us. Let's take a minute right here and now and ponder how good God has been to you already today. Let's meditate on how good God has been to you this week. Let's take just a moment and remember how good God has been to us this year. All that He's done. All that He's gotten us through. All that He is. Let's take just a minute. It is in that context that I read to you the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. It's a very familiar passage. One that you will recognize right off. But one that we as followers of Jesus need to go back to periodically and be refreshed by and remember. Beginning in verse 1, Isaiah wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. The question on the table as we read what happened to Isaiah in the 6th chapter, in the year that King Uzziah died, according to Isaiah, the question that we should be asking ourselves this morning is, why should you and I, why should every single one of us say, "God, I'll do whatever You want me to do"? Why should we say to the Lord, "Lord, I will give whatever it is You want me to give, whatever it is You're leading me to give"? Why should we say, "Lord, I will go wherever it is that You are leading me to go"? Lord God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. Lord God, I'll give whatever it is You want me to give. I'll give my 401k. I will give my house. I will give my vacation time. I'll give whatever. God, I will go wherever it is You want me to go. I'll go share the gospel. I will go to my neighbor. I will go to my boss even. If you want me to, I'll go to a foreign country. Not just a foreign country with white people that speak English. I'll go to a foreign country like Somalia or Iran or Iraq or Syria. God, if that's what you want me to do, then that's where I'll go. Why should we say that to him? Why must we say it? As we see here, Isaiah was allowed to see the splendor and the glory of the Almighty God. And the first thing that he realized is the first reason why we should say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll give whatever you want to give. It's because our God is crazy awesome. Okay? Not just a little bit, a lot. He is crazy, crazy awesome. And that's what Isaiah saw, and that's what he wanted to share with the entire world. Awesome. And he says, our God reigns. He absolutely reigns, and he reigns forevermore. That's a good reason to do whatever he wants, go wherever he wants, give whatever he wants. You know, the president is in office for 4 to 8 years. King Uzziah, this is the year that he died. He had reigned on the throne of Israel for 52 years. That's a long reign. You know that we're entering the 65th year of Queen Elizabeth being Queen of England? Not much of a rule there, but you get the point. That's a long time. Our God reigns forever. Forever and ever and ever. That's awesome. And these seraphs, these angelic beings, these seraphim, maybe your translation says, that's the plural of the Hebrew word. These seraphs are in there praising him continually. They're singing his praises, holy, 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 all the time, all the time. Think about it for just a second. We come in and we sing the praises of God for, you know, 4 or 5 songs, about 20 minutes total while we're here. That is to praise him, incidentally. That is the purpose of all that singing. And maybe you're one of these people that does praise outside of that. While we're driving down a road or something, you like to turn it to a particular radio station or put in a particular CD and sing his praises. That's a good thing to do. Absolutely, it's a great thing to do. If you're looking for New Year's resolutions, I want to suggest one. Change those buttons on your car radio to some Christian music stations. Listen to me very carefully. It will make a positive difference in your life. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not predicting that. I'm telling you, that's fact. It will make a positive difference in your life if you'll make that change. Maybe you're one of these people that likes to play such praise music and praise along while you're doing housework, cooking supper, mowing the yard. That's mine. I like to plug in a little Mark Schultz or something like that while I'm cutting the grass. And maybe you're one of those people, and that's also a very good thing. But listen to me, by the way. Listening is a great thing. Listening to it is an awesome thing to do. But just listening is not worship. Worship is something that must be participated in. It's not praise if we're just listening. It's one of those reasons why we bring up that, you know, you can stay home and watch Charles Stanley on a given Sunday or every Sunday or whatever the case may be, but that is not the same as coming to church. He will tell you that. Every television, national, huge following preacher who writes books and does great things will tell you if they are a Bible preaching, if they are a gospel missioned man of God, then they will tell you that their ministry is in no way intended to be, nor should it be, a substitute for weekly faithful church attendance. Being there, participating in it, is necessary for it to be right. So coming in is an act of worship itself. Did you know you'd already done that when you got here this morning? It is a sacrifice to get up on Sunday and get dressed and get here, especially if you have kids. Amen? So it is an act of worship in itself to make it here. Coming in and not singing his praises, coming in and not singing is better than not coming at all. But coming in and praising the Lord Jesus because he's crazy awesome is what's best. Now I want you to think for a minute as we thought about how good he's been to us. What does my God deserve? Good, better, or best? These angels, angelic beings were singing continuously, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. They just go on and on and on. If we come in and we participate every week, and maybe you'd get some drive time worship in, and maybe you get some housework worship in and that sort of thing, what percentage of the time total do you think we probably spend praising the Lord our God? 2 hours a week is just under 1.2%. So if you double or triple that, I mean, you're up to maybe 5% of the time. Okay? I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm trying to make them all realize that these angelic hosts never ever stop. That's crazy by human standards. They absolutely never stop. They're doing it right now. When you lie down to go to sleep at night, they'll be praising God out loud. When you get up and start brushing your teeth tomorrow morning, they'll be praising God out loud. And they praise Him nonstop because He's crazy awesome. And they're in His presence and they can't help do anything else. They say, holy, 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 over and over. What does that mean? It means He's so different. What that means is, I don't have a word to describe, says they. They don't have a word to describe just how awesome He is. They can't relate. So they just call Him holy. Incidentally, that's why Jesus came. That's why the Jesus that we were just celebrating Christmas over came, because God Almighty is so holy that even the angels can't relate, much less you and I. So He came so we could relate. Praise God. That's why He came. He left this scene that we read about, did Jesus, left this scene, constant praise in the throne room in heaven, to come to this earth so that the Pharisees and the scribes could go, not impressed. We say, that's horrible. But if we encounter a holy and awesome God, if we relate to Jesus and we're not blown away by how crazy awesome He is, then we're guilty of the same thing. And I don't want to be guilty of that. The Bible says He's too awesome for words. We read earlier in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25. Who can relate? Who can possibly fathom? All right? Who are you going to compare me to? God said. He's crazy awesome. And that is reason enough that we ought to be willing to do whatever it is He wants, to go wherever it is He says, to give whatever it is He leads us to give. The second reason we ought to be able to do those things is because we are really, really crazy sinful. You and me. That's both of us. That's all of us. We are absolutely crazy sinful. It was in the reality of God's holiness and all this praise that was going on, all right, that while the angels were going, wow, that Isaiah came in and he goes, whoa, I got a filthy mouth. Not only that, I hang out with people with filthy mouths. I'm ruined. I'm destroyed. Isaiah says, there's no way that a God that holy and that perfect, there's no way that a God that awesome, that crazy awesome, is going to tolerate me in His presence. Isaiah compared what he knew himself to be to what it was that he was seeing before him, and he said, a God that perfect will not stand for something as imperfect as me to be in His presence. Think about it. Isaiah was able to compare himself to what he knew of in, well, Genesis chapter 3. You remember that? Adam and Eve, one bite of one fruit, and it changed everything. One little sin. God said, listen, if that's the way you want to do it, Adam and Eve, if that's the way you want to do it, fine. I'll be around, not like it's been before. It can never be the same. One bite of one fruit, and it changed everything. Because that was sin. And Isaiah thinks, if one bite of one fruit changed everything like that, think about all the things that I've said. Think about all the sins that I've committed. That's what Isaiah was confronted with. There's no way God is going to spend any time with me. Now, if we can all just take just 1 minute and think about this, if we can agree that Isaiah was probably comparing his sin to the one little sin of Adam and Eve, let's think for a minute. Who do you suppose has sinned more, Isaiah or us? See, he didn't have the internet. He didn't have television. He didn't have a lot of things that we have that cause us to sin. Isaiah knew how sinful he was. He said, there's no way that God's going to allow me to exist in His presence. And Isaiah was right. He said, and it bears the question, how in the world can a perfect God allow me to stand before Him when I'm so imperfect? We are so sinful for a perfect God that our response ought to be that I'll do whatever He wants. I'll go wherever He says. I'll give whatever instruction. And the third reason we ought to do these things is He, being God, is crazy merciful. Crazy merciful. Isaiah says, I've got unclean lips. And immediately God instructs one of the angels to take the coal and touch it to his lips. And he says, listen to me, guilty one. You are now not guilty. You are now clean of what it was that was keeping you from being here. You are no longer filthy. Can I tell you, that's crazy that a perfect God would do that. You can't be that perfect and just forego something that imperfect, can you? Or how can you, a God that holy, just do that and still be true? I'll tell you how, because He's crazy merciful. Crazy merciful. Took the dog to the vet earlier this week. And because he sheds, I put a sheet on the passenger seat. Because I didn't want the dog hair all over my clean car seat. I mean, you don't want to sit in my car seat if there's dog hair all over it. I want to keep it clean. When I've been out mowing the yard, since we brought that up earlier, and it's just insane hot and I'm sweaty and dirty and I got grass all over me. You know what I don't do when I come in the house? Immediately just lie down on the couch. Yuck. Okay, that's nasty. Sweat all over you. You wouldn't do that. Mama didn't let us come in her house with muddy shoes. Why? Because it's in good shape and you can just put forth a little effort and keep it that way. What God is allowing you and I to do with all the crazy sin that we've done is come into His presence any time we desire because He is crazy merciful. Isaiah called it right. He said, woe is me, particularly when I compare it to the perfection in worship that I hear these seraphim, these angelic beings doing today. But God showed him redemption and He did the same for us. God cleaned him up, and that is a perfect picture. The coal to the mouth, you are now not guilty, is the perfect picture of what the gospel means to every single one of us here today. He's willing to do that. Let's face it, he's more than willing. He's done it. For all that He's done for me, for how good He's been to me, I ought to be willing to do whatever He wants. Go wherever He says. Give whatever He leaves. The story of a man who had a lot of trouble with his cars breaking down. Every one he got, it must be a Chevy guy, I guess. But anyway, he wanted to find some. I'm just joking, all right? I made a few mad and a few were laughing, all right? Plug in anything you want. At any rate, he goes trying to find a car that won't break down on him. And he had plenty of money, so he was obviously going to buy something expensive, maybe a Rolls Royce or something like that. But the salesman got him to bite because he guaranteed him, bottom line, this car will never break down. You know how where this is going already, don't you? All right. So he's driving out in the country one day, as far away from everything and everybody as you can get, and sure enough, the car breaks down. The man makes his way to a phone, and he says, okay, he calls the dealership and says, it broke down out here, I'm just letting you know. And sure enough, the dealership, believe this or not, this is how the story goes, and probably not a true story, but they put a mechanic on a helicopter and flew it to the man out in the country. And the helicopter touches down, and the mechanic gets out, and he repairs the car, and he gets it running again. He gets back in the helicopter, and he leaves, and the man drives off. 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 weeks, however long passes by, and the man's thankful that the car is now working. He figures, well, there's got to be a charge for that somewhere. I mean, that's extremely expensive to fly a mechanic out there just for me. I'll call him and see if I owe him any money. This is an honest guy right here. And he says to the woman at customer service, I know that had to be expensive, and I have not received a bill yet. I just wanted to let you know, if you'll send me an invoice, I will pay you whatever I owe. And the woman said to him, sir, we have no record of doing any work on your car. You understand that that's where you stand before an almighty and perfect and crazy awesome God if you have trusted Jesus for your forgiveness. What do I owe, Lord? We don't have any record of you owing any. How thankful ought we be? How willing ought we be to do whatever it is He says do? To give whatever it is He wants us to give. To go wherever it is He's leading us to go. The last thing after He's crazy merciful, we have a mission that is crazy important. God says before Isaiah, who do we send? Who do we send to tell the people? And Isaiah says, me! I'll go! After all I've seen here, after all you've done for me, you've cleaned me up, you've forgiven me, I will absolutely be the one to go, says Isaiah, because he'd seen the glory of the Lord. And so he could not respond like that. Let me tell you something here this morning, and if you don't hear anything else, hear me out on this right here today. If you have a response like, we'll see if somebody else will do it. If you or I have a response like, I don't really have the time. If we're passive before the Lord, if we have no response, then we haven't seen His glory. Because if we'd seen His glory, if we'd experienced Him as He truly is, we'd be like, me, here am I. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. I'll go wherever. I'll give whatever. And if you and I are a little apathetic about it, I want you to know we haven't seen the glory of the Lord. So what we need to do is we need to pray and ask Him to reveal that to us. Because I believe we'd be missing out, don't you? I believe the answer to that prayer is going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be crazy awesome, what I think. This mission that He wants to involve us in, that He wanted to involve Isaiah in when He said, here am I, send me. See, you've got a perfect and a holy and a crazy awesome God that wants to involve you and me in His plans. That's been made clear. Whether or not you and I are willing to be involved in what God is doing, that has not been made clear. See, He wants to involve you in Awana. He wants to involve you in missions, going on a mission trip, giving the Lottie Moon, whatever the case may be. I believe He wants to involve all of us in this church in a building campaign. I honestly believe that that's the next step. And we need to do whatever we can here at home, in other countries, because the mission is crazy important. For the people in other parts of the world, The Lottie Moon missionaries are their window to the gospel. For the people in your life, you are the window to the gospel. Close it like this. You did what your mama told you, didn't you? I mean, she's your mama. She deserves it, right? She's earned that. Supposed to honor her. You do what the boss tells you. I mean, as far as he knows, right? He's the boss. Dad used to say, well, boss is not always right, but he's always the boss. You do what he says because he has that position. You do what the policeman says, right? I mean, he's got a gun. Furthermore, the ability to fine you or have you imprisoned. So you do what he says. He's got that kind of power, authority. Honor, position, power, authority. We do what they say because they have these things. Can I tell you this morning that God Almighty has more than all that I've mentioned 1,000,000,000 times over? We ought to be willing, ought to be wanting, ought to be yearning to do, to give, to go, whatever he said. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we trust in you. You're the one who made us. You're the one who came to us. You're the one who we celebrate. You are the one who blesses us. You're the one who protects us. Lord, thank you. And so, Lord, we realize that maybe sometimes our dedication to you might falter a little bit, sometimes a lot. And sometimes we lose sight of what's really important. But our prayer here individually and as a group this morning, Lord, is that you would reveal your glory to each of us and to all of us, that we would be willing to be who you're calling us to be, to do, to give, to go, wherever, whatever, whenever, however you say, because you, our God, deserve that. Not just for what you've done for us, but just for who you are. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, any man, woman, or child in our midst today who has not experienced the forgiveness that only you can give them, if they would just put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what he's done on the cross, if they've never asked you into their lives and given their lives to you, I pray that they would receive Jesus Christ's forgiveness today. And Lord, if there's anyone in our midst this morning who is a little bit convicted by what you have been saying by the power of your Holy Spirit to them, that they need to revive their life, that they need to rededicate themselves, that they need to refocus their intentions because you deserve better than what they've been giving you, pray that they would do that today as well. So Lord, it is with great expectation and anticipation that we ask these things of you today. We trust you because you've always proven yourself to be true. Trust you in Christ's precious name.